Oh, hello everyone, welcome to our podcast, Café for Two. I'm Sebas.
I'm Ori.
And we're in a long distance relationship.
Woohoo!
Yay! There's fireworks coming off of my window. Where are you, babe?
For real? No.
Like, no, it's not. Not this time.
Yeah, that happens. Like, it happens pretty often. Back home, I used to just, like, randomly be sitting at, like, on my bed, and I see outside the window, and just, like, random fireworks would come off.
Well, you know, I'm in front of the casino, the Mardi Gras, so I actually do see a lot of fireworks very often, because they like to, you know,
celebrate someone winning money.
Yeah. The dog races. So they just shoot up fireworks. They're like, pew, 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 pew.
How do they go?
Pew, pew, pew. That's how the fireworks work. Okay. Pretty sure that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think so?
Just minor discrepancies with that, but more or less.
I was told by many people I was like that guy from the police academy, the one with the sound effects. So I don't know. I have a talent. I have a gift. Can't put me down.
I'm not trying to.
All right. Well, how was your week, babe? Well, did we tell anyone? Nah, they know, right? What? I mean, for anyone that hasn't listened to us before, I'm in Miami.
Oh, yeah. And I'm in D.C. Well, technically Virginia, but in the D.C. area.
And yeah, that's where we are. That's why the long distance. How do we record from different places? That's a trade secret. Don't get to know. We're not going to tell you how we do it.
But a simple Google search will give you the answer.
Yeah, but we're not going to make it easy on you guys. You do that Google search like we did. Okay, so how was your week?
It went another calm week in the books, I would say. A lot of office time, because sometimes I transition from like working entire days in the office to not being at the office at all and just running around the city, going from different places. So it's a lot of time in the office. Probably the only thing that stood out was I got to go to the gynecologist this week.
Yay! Oh, fun. Oh, my goodness.
Lady doctors are fun and necessary. Go to your lady doctor, okay, ladies? All ladies out there listening, or people who have lady parts.
Yes. So, even if you're a man, if you have a lady part, you should probably get it checked out.
Go to the lady doctor. I think everyone more or less knows, but all women should go once a year to the gynecologist for just like, they call it like a healthy women exam. And it's just what's the word? It's not precautionary. It's preventative. There we go. Preventative.
Yeah.
Where they just kind of, you know, fill you up, basically. They get real handsy with you. This is no exaggeration. So
they get up in there and then just jiggle them around.
It's just, which is very important, why everyone who does have a lady doctor, find a lady doctor that they're comfortable with, because it's going to get real personal real quick. But I like my new lady doctor. My old lady doctor, although she was very nice and sweet and understanding, so just she was a little bit judgmental. Because she, every single time I would go visit her, she would always ask me, you know, like, why don't I have children already? And I'm like, I'm 22 years old. That was always my answer. I'm like, I'm 22 years old and have no intention of having children.
When I was 19, I had 5 children.
Well, no,
that's usually what people say to me.
Well, that's what they say to you?
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, I've had already 5 children at age 19. What are you doing with your life?
Yeah. Yeah, like that. Do you remember that doctor I went to? He was like, you don't have kids? You don't want planning to have kids? And I'm like, no, I'm only 23. And he's like, well, was it 24 at the time? Anyway, he was like, when I was 18, I already had my first child. And I was like, I don't think that's great.
That's not right.
That's not a good idea. You're a doctor now, but like, how long did that take?
That's true. But yeah, so she, and it wasn't so much as, which there's a valid point to this, but I just still think it's not a valid point enough for me to have children, but these are the years that it's best to bear children, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it's safer.
It is safer. So I don't know what the exact age is, but it's somewhere, you know, in your late 30s that if you have a kid, you're considered like at high risk and you have to be monitored more if you have a child at that age. So I understand that she's trying to be like, you know, you if you want to have a kid, you need to have it earlier rather than later, because it's just going to be more complicated down the road, and it might be proved to be even harder to do it, you know, the what they call it, the spontaneous way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, but I'm only 22. Like, I don't want to have a kid now for the sake of saying, oh, it was easier.
Yeah, you're not even married. Like,
it was marriage either. I can have a kid and not be married. That's not the point. But the point,
I don't know. But like, I don't know. I feel like you should be settled down before you even think of having a baby.
Those are all external factors on top of it. Because there are people who have, you know, children at a very young age and aren't married and aren't settled down and still do a very exceptional job of raising their children. But obviously the preference is to, you know, be in a relationship because it gives you extra support and, you know, you are settled down and that gives you financial support. That's the ideal situation, but life doesn't really ever hand you that. But yeah, just to my point is just, I don't see the, I never understood why my old gynecologist was always telling me that I should think about having it sooner rather than later, instead of just saying have it when you feel it's right and then hopefully it works out, which is what my new gynecologist was kind of, you know, letting me know. And she was just very whatever questions I had, she was very eager to answer in full detail. And just, you know, because I when I go to the doctor, I like to know what's going on and what they're doing to me and why they're doing it to me.
Well, that's smart. You should always know.
Right. But, well, I think some people, just because it can be kind of complicated, they just kind of opt to, I'm just here to be checked out and you do the things to me and you poke me and whatever. And I'm just going to walk out of here and just, you know, do the thing that I needed to do. But so she was very, very understanding. She was very sweet. And it took, usually I'm used to being in and out for my exams and everything, but because I was a new patient,
mm-hmm.
it took a lot longer. And they have to go through your family, like, health history.
Right.
That's just as, so they can, you know, keep an eye out for some things that have popped up in my lineage and just, you know, keep a heads up on it. And it was a lot of questions and it was... You have to just, which, I don't know, it just, and you never really fully think about all the health, the minor health issues or major health issues that your family has. But I had considered that overall, like, my family was a pretty healthy family. But then when she was asking all these questions, I was like, man, how are we all not dead?
That's awful.
Yeah. It's like, we all have some serious, serious health problems. But I mean, all things considered, though, or at least medically considered, they're not serious or life threatening or, right. You know, or
they're
at least
not, there.
Yeah, not at the moment. And so she just, you know, checked me out and also taught me how to self-check for some of the things. Because although, you know, this exam is only once a year, you're really supposed to be checking yourself out more frequently than that. Because, you know, if you develop a lump somewhere and it doesn't get noticed until the year after, then right. it can go south pretty quickly. So,
the whole thing with the, you can't let it progress.
You can't let what?
You can't let it progress, like those things.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Treatment.
Detection is like... the best way to prevent a lot of these diseases and,
mm-hmm.
And health issues. So I don't know. I really liked it. The only thing is, again, Google Maps fails me every time. I swear. Why? It's so terrible. On my way there, it was fine. I got there and it was really close by. It was only like a 10-minute drive, which I love, because I had to take the day off for it and everything. But on the way back, because I wanted to stop by Costco to do my shopping,
mm-hmm.
I routed it to go to Costco and it failed. I don't know what had happened to it, but it just failed. You know how it's supposed to talk to you?
Right.
It's supposed to let you know, which is the whole point of the GPS. You're really not supposed to be looking at the map. You're supposed to be going, you're supposed to be following directions as it dictates it to you.
Right.
It just failed to notify me what exit to take. And all of a sudden, I find myself in, like, DC. And I'm, like, so angry. Because I live in Arlington and I'm so close to DC while still residing in Virginia that if I miss an exit, I have to cross the river, get to DC, figure out where I am, figure out how to turn back and find another bridge, and then get my butt back into Virginia. So I was just like so livid and angry. So I'm like, oh, why did this thing just like fail to, you know, it was working fine, but I think, I have no idea that the signal gets mixed up a lot. And
not only that, is all the exits are so close and all the roads are so close to each other.
I don't know. I don't know, but it just completely failed me. It was directing me all fine up until the moment that I needed to take the exit. And by the time I looked down at my phone and realized that that was the exit I was supposed to take, which it hadn't advised me, you know, usually it tells you like, you know, in half a mile or in a certain amount of feet, take this exit. It never did that at all. And once I looked down and I'm like, oh, that was my pool. And I'm like, okay, whatever, I'll just take the next exit. And then I realized, no, the next exit, there is no next exit. I'm crossing the bridge. Darn it.
God, that's terrible. Reminds me of the time we almost died.
The time we almost died.
Oh my God, you forgot. Never mind. Don't forget I brought it up. If you don't remember, good.
I mean, there are so many times where we could have died. I feel like it's not that I don't remember. I just really don't know.
Oh, come on, that's not true. We don't always almost die.
We say, but did you die a lot?
Yeah, but like, did we? But did we? I'm sorry, what was that?
Because we almost did.
Well, yeah, but you know, like the time we ended up in the, what's it called?
In the
Everglades.
In the Everglades. I thought you were going to say in the parking lot of the Pentagon.
Well, yeah, that one too. Well, I'm not so scared anymore because we found out that it's not such a big deal.
Right.
Like, well, no, actually. If you could take a tour, then, you know.
Yeah, no, but the thing is, there is, like, we were in the part where it wasn't a big deal, but there is definitely a part because I've seen it, because sometimes I get off the buses go through the part where it's a deal because that's where the metro station is in the Pentagon.
Right.
So I've seen it, and it's, like, guarded by, like, this intense security and all this stuff, and I'm just like, if we had gotten to this spot, we would have been asked a lot of questions that I wouldn't know how to answer.
Like, what are you doing? I don't know.
I don't know.
Why did you turn here? Because we don't know. We don't know anything. We're just lousy tourists at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're a local. You should know better.
I'm not a local. I still have to use Google Maps.
This is true. Maybe you will forever. I don't know. Like,
maybe. I mean, I did use Google Maps back home, but if it was like a new place that I had never gone to, and it's usually just to figure out, you know, what exit to get off at on the highway I already knew how to get on.
Right. No. Also, the only street I really know in your area is like Courthouse Road, and that's the street.
I mean, I've got a pretty good lay of the land of like my neighborhood and like the surrounding area.
You know where Giant is? That's pretty good. I think that's, you know, the essentials. You know where the grocery store is.
You know how to get the food.
Yes.
And how to get to the metro.
Yes, also. I use the map too here. I'm not ashamed of to admit it. I have no idea how to go to a place that's more than 20 miles away from me without using the map.
What do you mean more than, like?
Like if it's more than 20 miles away, I probably don't know how to get there.
But your school is more than 20 miles away.
I use the map every single time.
Use the map every single time to go to school?
Every single time it takes me a different route.
So why, exactly. Why would you do that? You should just always take the turnpike.
But I try, and then, you know, it's always under construction.
Not that there's only one part of the turnpike that's under construction, and that's like I-70, like the interchange where I-75 is.
I don't know. I'll try it next time.
The turnpike is the best way because even though it might be further, which it isn't really because the exit on the turnpike where you have to get off, like the... Your school is right there.
Right.
But it's, to me, every single time I went, it was always better to take the turnpike. Because if you tried to take Palmetto, Palmetto was always backed up nasty. Right,
always. Palmetto is a no-go when it comes to driving. Anyway.
And 95 is only worth it if you can take the express lane when it's not blocked off. And then if there's an accident, which 9 out of 10 times there is, it is blocked off.
Yeah, this place sucks. Like, all the roads are just bad. Bad roads.
You just have very limited choices.
I mean, still have to go to school. So one day I won't, and that day be great. You know, I realize I'm probably gonna have to make a another drive to Virginia at some point.
Why?
If I ever move.
Oh, it's like, why on earth would you drive to Virginia? Did you not learn the first time?
Maybe you're right. You're right. Maybe I'll just ship everything. Fuck it. Maybe I'll YOLO it.
I mean, as the thing is, if you save up money in time and like if you just plan for it more, I feel like if I had known maybe a couple more months in advance that I was for sure gonna move, I think I would have probably shipped my like
your car
and stuff and shipped some of the stuff over and just flown. But because I mean, it was all dependent on the aid that I was offered and the if I could even find a job. So that was another thing that even though I got. You know, I got accepted into the school. It was the question of like, okay, well, when do I move? Because if I don't get a job, then I won't move until August.
Right.
Because that's when school starts, when I really absolutely have to be in the area. But if I found a job, which I was actively looking for a job, depending on when they need me to start, that's when I gotta go. And this the job that I now have, they were like, well, we need you here like as soon as you can. So that meant. Like from one day to the other, I'm like, oh, dang, I have to move in 2 months.
Yeah, that was harsh news.
Was it real?
I mean, no, we knew. We knew.
Yeah.
It's a matter of when.
I mean, I don't know. Like, was it that bad for you to just like actually like see that, oh, all of a sudden, like she's moving now?
Well, it was a series of things because I knew you wanted to move and that's fine. And then, you know, you got accepted and I was like, yay. But then what hit me was your parents moved me to Orlando and I was like, uh-oh.
But my parents didn't move to Orlando. Only my dad moved to Orlando.
Yeah, but you know, at some point they're all going to move there, no?
No, I mean, yes and no. That answer is very ambiguous because it really just depends on how long my dad plans on working there. Because as much as, you know, my dad is happy working where he does right now in Orlando, mm-hmm. Both of my parents prefer living in Miami more.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, I don't know, because if he only stays there for a couple of years and it doesn't really make sense to relocate the family like that.
I love how your parents are sort of doing long distance too.
Well, that's pretty funny. Maybe we should have them on the podcast.
Maybe we should. It would be interesting. We're in Orlando. We're going to be in Orlando in 2 weeks.
That's true.
We can maybe record with them.
We just got to figure out the time.
Yes.
Because, I'll
bring my laptop so we can record.
You're right. But the thing is, we'll be basically chaperoning.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be hard.
I mean, I say chaperoning, but really, it's just an excuse for us to go to the Harry Potter land.
Don't want us to know that we're chaperoning. We're going there involuntarily.
Mm-hmm.
We actually don't want to go to the parks.
I mean, I do. I just wish that Florida wasn't Florida in August.
It's hot. I feel like we say this every episode. It's hot. It's hot in here. It's really hot in here.
So we'll be at the parks. And while we're at the parks, my mom and my aunts are probably going to, you know, get everything ready for my cousin's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, of course. So then once we get back, we'll probably have like some form of meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to finish my cousin's video in time for that.
How's that going?
It's going pretty well. That's actually what I was working on before.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because I was just like, I have to dig so deep into the archives of my pictures and stuff to try to find old pictures of my cousin and new pictures of my cousin and videos, because I like to incorporate some form of, you know, video into it. Mm-hmm. Instead of it being like a slideshow of pictures.
Right.
But that's kind of hard to find when the person doesn't like being recorded.
Well, I mean, teenagers, babe, teenagers.
I mean, I'm still like that. I don't particularly like being photographed or recorded, but I mean, this is why I'm usually the one doing all the photography and the recording, just so no one can
pick the pictures of you.
Exactly.
We don't look bad in pictures.
I mean, it's not that I look good or bad in pictures. I don't enjoy. I would much rather take the picture than have the picture be taken of me.
Yeah.
It's just. I am.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because not everyone has a good eye for pictures.
Yes. Oh my god, like it bothers me all the time when we have to ask like people to take pictures of us.
Yeah, like the one said at the Game of Thrones bar, they could have been a lot better to be honest. Yeah,
exactly. And it just it I always end up disappointed, and I'm just like, ugh, I could have just taken a better picture myself.
Yeah, why can't I just clone myself, have myself just take the picture from outside of me?
Exactly.
Yeah, because our selfies come up pretty good.
Right, without a selfie stick, mind you.
Yes, because that's a no-no.
Big no-no.
Yeah.
In Hori's world. Because mm-hmm. you tried. You were like, maybe we should. And I'm like, no.
Because we were going to go on a trip, the two of us. Our first trip together.
I get it. But still, selfie sticks. First of all, they're banned from the parks. And if I feel.
No, I know, like, but like.
Walt Disney Incorporated and Universal Studios were like, we cannot have these instruments. Then I feel like I must abide by these guidelines.
Yeah.
And not use them ever.
Yeah, that's true. They don't ban too many things.
Exactly. It's just like. Can you imagine? Like, they don't. The only. What are the things that they ban outside of selfie sticks? Like, you know, obviously alcohol.
Oh, so they're, sadly.
They're basically equating those selfie sticks as a nuisance as alcohol consumption.
Well, I mean, because you could poke someone's eye out, you know?
It's not even so much. It's so dangerous. It's not even. Well, first of all, how cliche of that. Poke someone's eye out. What are you doing with the selfie stick? You're going to poke. Someone's eye out.
You're probably trying to poke someone's eye out.
No, that's no. I think it's so much that selfie sticks are very dangerous because people try to use them on the rides.
Right.
And you know, those rides are perfectly engineered to count for the distance of a human being's limbs and body. And a selfie stick is much longer than that.
Right.
So you can really mess up a ride like that. And then also, you know, when they do parades.
Mm-hmm.
And spectacular shows and whatnot, and people have like their selfie sticks like up in the air trying to like record it, and then it suddenly all blocks the view from everyone.
Oh yeah, that is a nuisance.
So exactly, that's how bad selfie sticks are, that they had to ban it from the parks in Orlando.
Well, I'm glad they did. Now I don't like them. See, now I don't like them.
It makes sense.
It does. It does. Not for like natural parks like the Denver, the Rocky Mountains. Just saying.
Anyway, mm-hmm. but yes, soon we will be in Orlando in 2 weeks.
Recording live, but not really.
Maybe we can figure something out.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun because it's easier for them.
They just don't care. They're at the point that they don't care.
Yeah, fuck. Just drive. They could. Honestly, if I could just drive to Orlando, probably wouldn't do it every weekend. But it'll be nice to have the option
because mm-hmm.
you know. Can't put all those miles on my car. I got a lease. I got limited miles.
That is true. But it's still a nice option. I don't know. Hopefully they'll be interested in it. And maybe we'll do something different.
Yeah. We need to have more people, more guests, more long distance. Long distance. Well, anything else for your week?
Aside from my hatred for Google Maps, no.
No? Nothing about it.
Oh, but I did learn... I'm just kidding. I did learn a new term.
What was that?
Which is now my mantra for life is double income, no children.
Oh boy. And what does that mean?
This is this financial term that I forgot who had said it, but I was just like, what is this? So it's basically how they categorize people who live together. So they have two incomes and no children. And it's the most favorable like demographic that any city wants to target, because obviously you're at a certain age where you're not too young because you don't have any people who are too young in your household, children, mm-hmm. right? And children use up a lot of government resources, you know,
right.
So like public schools and public libraries and parks and all this stuff. And then you're not too old, so you're also not using up any kind of like, you know, social services kind of
right, like
need. Right. So it's basically like the most targeted demographic, and they were going into the numbers of how much, you know, people who are double income, no children spend because mm-hmm. they have all this basically disposable income. They don't have to spend it on all these other things. And I was just like, oh my God, even having like not even the best job, mm-hmm. just by not having children and, you know, being of a certain age, just, I don't know, like it blew my mind. Like the numbers blew my mind.
Wow. Goals.
And yeah, right. So I'm just like, these are my goals now, because it just, to me, like those numbers translated to more opportunities for me to do the things that I want to do, like travel.
I agree.
Or enhance, you know, more, like, enhance myself more to take more opportunities work-wise. You know, what if I, for some reason, you know, get offered a job doing something international-wise and got to go to another country, like, being a double income, no children, just is very opportunistic place to be, because you can just relocate.
But,
and not have to think about anything. I mean, the only thing you might have to think about is the your relatives that you might be leaving behind or something. But other than that,
it's ideal.
It's more than ideal. It's goals.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine. God, kids have so much money. You have to buy them clothes, food. As an accountant, I just see the numbers. Just no one could afford kids. Like, how do they do it?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like people fake it until they make it kind of deal.
Honestly,
that's how I'm, bro. And that's why a lot of children come out so messed up.
Yeah, because unless you make like $100,000 a year per person, I don't think you could afford a kid. I don't think anyone should afford kids. Could afford kids.
In theory. But again, people make it work somehow.
That's true. I don't know. I know the kind of life that I want to live. I want to travel. I want to have enough money to be comfortable. And kids just make it hard. Make it real hard. Not only the money, it's the time too.
Right. There's so much time dedicated to raising a child.
Yeah. Reading bedtime stories. Eating.
That's it. That's the only time you need to dedicate to having a kid. Reading them bedtime stories.
that's
making sure they're not.
The government will take care of the rest.
The government takes. Okay. Interesting. Interesting. On your national children.
I'm kidding.
I hope so, because oh my god, your child would die.
Right. I don't think it's my choice, but okay. Anyway.
Right, it really isn't your choice.
It is not.
You don't bear the child.
Yeah. I mean, it is my choice if I decide to snip, but I don't know. Too young for that.
Too expensive, too.
I never looked at the
price. I'm sure it is.
I mean, it is a surgery, so probably.
Any surgery, basically anything that requires you to go under is going to cost you a lot of
money. Oh, yeah. I would not be able to be awake for that.
Shouldn't. I'm pretty sure it's not allowed.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, no children. If you have children, you'll have no fun.
That's
not,
okay. I don't want to like super generalize on that either, because I mean, we know a lot of people who have children and live great, happy lives.
That's true.
Just personally, I do not feel like I will enjoy being a mother.
Yeah, my neighbors, like I told you, they're double income, no babies. They seem happy.
I like that you use the word "seem," because they could also be crazy miserable, but that's not because they have children. They gotta work on the relationship or something.
Oh yeah, I mean, too young to worry about it anyway.
Exactly. This is although my old gynecologist would say this is the opportune time to think about these things, but
you know, it's so different in cultures. Miami culture is like, have children. Virginia culture is like, no.
that's not true, because I sat down with my cousin here, his name is Fabi Albert, and that's not the case, because we actually got into the topic of children. And he thought I was crazy for not wanting children, but at the same time, he was telling me how a lot of the guys that he works around with, he works at a Pep Boys, and he's the general manager, and he's like, what, 23, 24 years old? He's a little bit younger, I mean, older than I am, and how a lot of them are like, why do you not have kids already? No, I had my first kid at 18 years old. Had my second kid at 20 years old.
See, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I know. So I don't know if it's a, I don't know where, because he clearly doesn't work with Hispanics or people in the Hispanic culture. He works with a lot of Americans. So I don't know where it stems from, the having children. Think it is, it's probably still a cultural thing, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's exclusive to the Hispanic culture.
Right,
because I also know of a lot of other cultures worldwide where they also think that you should be having children early on. I mean it's been proven that there's a strong correlation between number of children had and levels of education.
Yes.
So I feel like that's probably where it lies. But then again, my gynecologist is an MD, so I don't, and she's still like, you should have babies now. And I'm like, because she brings up the very true point that it would be easier for me to have now than later.
Right. I was going to bring out the point that there is a correlation between those two things, which is strange and also maybe not so good. I don't know. I mean, if you're a good parent, you're a good parent. It doesn't matter how smart you are, what your income is.
But what do you mean by, I don't know, you seem like very conflicted on the whole point of like education.
Well, I'm not. It's if you're less educated, there is a tendency to have more children. Even in the amount of children you have, like it's not only like one kid. You might have multiple children. The more educated people, you know, they still have kids, but they don't have as many. I mean, I knew kids from school that they had like five brothers, and you know, there's people that only had like one, maybe two kids. They planned for one, and then there was an accident later on. So yeah, I think less educated people do have more children, but it doesn't mean they're bad parents.
No, it does not.
And just because you're more educated doesn't mean you're going to be a better parent.
Very true. There's no correlation between good and bad parenting and education levels.
There isn't. I don't think you can measure that. Like, how do you measure how good of a parent you are? I don't think there's...
No, it's very subjective. I don't think you can measure that. I mean, you can, I guess, potentially look at the success of the child, but at the same time, like, success is very subjective.
Yeah, like, you can't control how smart the kid's going to be or how driven. You know, you have kids, just love them. Don't abandon them.
Right. That's very, very simple steps. Mm-hmm. Don't abandon the child. Step one, have a child. Step two, don't leave child.
Don't leave child. Step three, you know, just don't be patient. I think it's patience. I don't know. I don't know anything on parenting.
Yeah, we don't know anything. I don't think we can other than the basics of, you know, don't leave the child unattended or don't abandon the child altogether, I don't think we're in a position to really say, like, a position to comment on parenting because we are not parents.
Yeah.
And we don't know what it is and what it feels like to be a parent.
I mean, you're sort of a parent. Yeah, you have Brownie.
Right. And even then, like, Brownie's like an easy child because all he ever does is wants to eat and sleep.
That's the life. I wish I could live that life. Wouldn't that be nice? No, I wouldn't. I would get bored.
So we haven't talked about your week.
I know. My week was pretty chill.
That's great compared to last week.
Yeah, last week was a fucking doozy. No, this week was pretty chill. I mean, I went to work. What happened at work? Nothing much. It was just a regular good old day at work. I did my day-to-day stuff. I did have a problem with a building that I manage. Some guy decided to turn down a wall and make it into a door to, like, make an easy access from one room to the other. And he didn't get the permits from the city of Hollywood. And, boy, let me tell you, they don't like that. The city does not like that. They get very handsy with it. They're like, nope, you gotta... first of all, prove all these things. Like, I don't know. They want us to get an architect to draw the door and, you know, with all the measures.
Draw the door?
Design the door.
Oh, draw. Like, okay.
Like, give us.
You said draw the door, and I'm literally thinking someone's about to get like a Sharpie on a wall.
Oh, no.
The door. And like.
Just.
But here's the door. We didn't tear down the wall. Here's the door.
Of course.
I draw the design of, yes, like what an actual architect
right.
does.
but it's kind of hard to get one to do that after it's already been done. So you call an architect and you're like, hey, I need you to do this for me. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. And then you tell them, but the thing already happened. And then they're like, oh, no. And you're like, yeah. yeah, no one wants to do it because it's like you have to sign on someone else's work. I understand it. I wouldn't do it. I'll be like, no, right. I don't want to deal with that. Like, if something happens, then I'm liable for it. And I don't know you.
That door falls on someone because it's faulty.
Exactly. Exactly. And it might be. I don't know. Like,
probably is. Let's be real.
I mean, honestly, if...
People do things without proper permits and stuff are probably not doing it by the book and by strict regulations. Mm. I mean, hence they are breaking one of the main regulations. Yeah. So they're probably cutting
corners. To be fair, the door was already there. They just had covered it up with like bricks. But they, I don't know, there could be like a brick that they didn't take down. That could fall. I don't know. Things happen. Obviously, if an architect didn't design it, anything would happen.
Right. So then what are you going to do?
I have no idea. I really don't know. We have a partner that has an architect. Mm-hmm. He would do the job, but he would only do it like from scratch. Like he would be like, okay. Let's do this whole thing, and he would charge like full price.
Oh, true.
So they would probably have to go there and like redo the door, or I don't know. I mean, the hole is already there, so maybe retouch it. I don't know. But he will do that, which is, you know, the best that we could get, because no other architect would be like, yeah, yeah, sure. We'll just sign over this. Pay me $1,000. Smart people know that quid cash doesn't really work.
Right. You're going to end up paying for it in the end.
Absolutely. Which is what these people did. They were like, oh, let's just do it without a permit, because you have to pay like $1,000 for the permit. And then they didn't want to pay that. And now they have to pay like maybe tenfold of what you originally had to pay. So that's what happened at work. Nothing else happened. It was a pretty chill week.
Did you hang out with anyone back
home? I did. I hung out with Flo. We went to Dumpling King. It was very yummy. We ate too much. We seriously need to like re-examine how we order food, because we're two people. And yes, we eat a lot. But like we ordered the General Tso chicken. How do you pronounce it?
Yes,
yeah, yeah, I know. That's why we ordered it, because we missed you. And we're like, oh, let's...
You guys ate?
We ate the dish that you liked because we missed you. We had that. We had a whole dish of that. And you know how big that is?
Yeah, that can be shared by two people.
Mm-hmm. And then we had the veggie fried dumplings.
Ooh, yeah, yummy.
They're very good. Also a thing that you could share with two people.
Yes.
And then we had the wonton soup.
Wow, okay.
And that's not all.
The steamed dumplings.
Of course. Of course, the Shanghai-style soup dumplings. Because those are that's the only reason to go there, honestly. Now, all the other food is great.
It's the only reason, and yet it's not the only thing you ordered.
We had that also. I think that's all.
That's a lot
of food. That is a lot of food for two people. Because we actually, the soup came first. We had the soup. We had a little bit of the soup. We didn't even finish it. We had, and thank God we didn't order the rice, because, wow.
Right.
And then we had some of the chicken. And by the time we were like a little done with the chicken, we had some of the vegetable dumplings. And by the time we were like looking at the table, and we're like, we fucked up. There's no way we can eat all this. Spoiler alert, we did. We ate that whole thing.
You ate the whole thing? I mean, it's so good. It's just like, it's so hard not to eat it all. It is,
because the dumplings, I mean, how to describe those dumplings? They're great. They're just gorgeous, little beautiful balls of soup. It's amazing. Yeah, but you can't just not eat them all.
Right. And it's just a waste, because they're so delicious.
And then you put the little hot sauce in them, and it's like mixes with the soup, and it's just delicious. Oh, it's so great.
I want some. I miss it so much.
I know. I was telling Flo, like, so when we go pick you up, if we go pick you up when you come back, what do you think the first stop is going to be? Dumpling King or her house?
Of course it'll be Dumpling King, because it's on the way.
Obviously, because we're going to definitely go from like 95, so might as well. I thought so. I thought so. What else do we do? And then we had more food. We went to that ice cream, the ice cream place, the Taiwan Ice.
Oh, the yes, yes.
And it was pretty good. I liked it. I mean, yeah, it was okay.
Wasn't it similar to that ice cream that we tried in Bayside?
Yes,
once?
When we went to the Red Hot Chili Peppers concert.
Yeah,
it was exactly the same. It's the same thing.
Oh, I'm so confused as to the origins of this new ice cream trend.
It's, I think, because I saw videos of it, like, way back in the day, and it was just, like, if it's a more energy-efficient way of carrying around ice cream, because it was for, like, sweet sellers. So instead of carrying the ice cream on the refrigerator, they would just have the liquid, the cream. Cream, of course, because it's not iced. So, cream. They will carry the cream around, and they would just mix it with some fruit, and then, you know, do the whole baka baka baka, and then
they lay it out on this. It's essentially the reverse of like a hot plate. It's like a cold plate, and it reaches over the cream, and it makes the iced cream,
which is very cool.
I mean, yeah, I remember. Like, I remember being intrigued by the concept, but I'm just so confused now.
I don't know where it's from. I don't get it.
Because the one that you went was, it's a Taiwanese ice cream place. And I mean, because I've seen that the girls have gone there too, and that the toppings are a little bit more on the Asian centric side. So you have like lychee, but the one that we went to, it seemed like it was Arabic or Israeli.
It was Arabic.
And so I'm confused as to where it originally came from. But either way, it was pretty good.
It was yummy. They have the mochi topping.
Mochi? What is that?
Mochi?
Oh.
Mochi, yeah.
Mochi.
They had mochi topping. Flo devoured the whole thing. With my help. With my help, of course. We share one because, you know, after that feast, I'm craving it again. Those soup dumplings. Ugh, they're just too good. If you come back and I'm like 100 pounds more, don't leave me.
I'll go to Dumpling King on my own. Yeah. And you. Oh.
I think that would even things out. So yeah, we did that. And then she told me that she took a test on like the BuzzFeed test, you know, the little quizzes. And she took a Rick and Morty little BuzzFeed quiz. And apparently she's Jerry.
Oh, no.
I know. She doesn't even know what that means. But, you know, if she watches the show, she will know.
Of all the things she could be, she's Jerry.
Yeah, I know. She could.
Wait, why are all Jerry's in shows like
I don't know. It must be a thing. Because in Parks and Rec, also.
And then on The Walking Dead.
He's amazing, though.
Yeah, but wait, is he Jerry or is he Gary on
Jerry.
The Walking Dead?
He's Jerry. Yeah.
He's Jerry also? Well, either way, like, the Jerry characters are, like, these, like, weird, annoying kind of, like, I don't know. They're just, like, not the character everyone loves.
Which is funny, because in Parks and Rec, he's a really nice guy. They just shit on him. It's great. It's amazing. I don't know. And speaking of The Walking Dead, where are we going in September, babe?
Oh, we're going to Walker Stalker Con.
I love how you paused in between those two words. Like, Walker Stalker Con?
Yeah, because I don't remember. I couldn't remember if it was like Walker Stalker Con or something.
No,
or
just it's Walker Stalker Con.
Okay.
So it's a convention.
It's a specific exclusive Walking Dead convention that they're having in Philly.
It's actually not exclusive to The Walking Dead. They actually have like... What? Yeah, you didn't read the schedule? No?
No.
Okay. Okay, so...
I just thought that we could take a picture with Norman Reedus, and that's all I needed to know.
Well, that's all we're doing. After we're done with that, we're just gonna...
Yeah. Just leave. That's all we need.
That's all anyone ever needs. No, there's like that show about the bikers. I don't know it. I never watched it.
Sons of Anarchy? That thing. That's part of the thing? That has nothing to do with zombies. If you're going to say like Night of the Living Dead is also included.
Oh, that also.
Or...
Oh. So, funny enough. But the Sons of Anarchy people are going to be there as well.
Okay. I don't watch that show. So,
we could just... skip through those things. Well, yeah, we're going to take a picture with Norman. We already paid for it. We have to drive to Philly. Should be fun.
We are going back to Philly because we realized it would be too expensive to stay in Philly.
Not so much. I mean, I still found that castle intriguing.
Right. Castle.
It's a castle, babe. It's a castle.
It's just a house. It's just
it's
a house.
It's not just a house.
It's the size of just about any of the normal two floor houses here that I've seen. The only difference, and I will say it is kind of intriguing and cool, is that instead of wood, it's made out of stone.
It's cool stone. Like, it looks like a castle, and it's listed as a castle in Airbnb. So I'm sticking to it. That's where I stand with that house. It's a castle. It's not a house. It's a castle. I'm sorry that I said house. It's a castle. do you think your dad will be jealous?
No.
I thought he was a big Walking Dead fan.
Yeah, but my dad doesn't like...
Meaning?
So my dad is a fan of shows, but he's not one of those people that enjoy being a part of a fandom. Like, he doesn't like the craziness that is like the Star Wars fandom. He loves Star Wars. Like, he's a crazy diehard fan. But like, for instance, when The Force Awakens came out, right? I told my dad that, okay, we have to get there. We have to, because we wanted to watch like the midnight premiere. We didn't even watch the midnight premiere because my dad was like, I can't handle the midnight premiere because I have to work the next day. And I'm like, all right, that's understandable. So I was like, okay, we'll get tickets for like, a Friday evening showing, right? The next Friday. And then I'm like, okay, well, the movie theater that we have closest to us, this is before IPIC opened, it doesn't have assigned seating or anything. So I told him, like, we have to be there early. We have to be in line. And he was like, no. we are not doing that, because he feels so uncomfortable around all these crazy, like these people who like dress up and all this stuff. Cause he's just like, that's that. He's like, you can love a show or a movie or something, but there's like no need for him. There's just no need to go to like those lengths. And he also wasn't digging the idea of waiting, like having to get in line probably like an hour or an hour and a half before the movie opens, because people are so crazy that you know that they would be there so much earlier.
Yeah.
So he made us buy tickets to the movie theater in Coconut Grove, because that movie theater had assigned seating. So we drove from North Miami Beach, which is where my parents live, to Coconut Grove, which is a good 40 minute drive. Oh,
yeah. I bought it.
And watch the movie and then drive all the way back home late at night. And I'm just like, okay. So I don't, he definitely wouldn't be jealous. He'd probably think it's cool that we got a picture with Norman, but he doesn't, like, he doesn't praise Norman Reedus or Andrew Lincoln or any of those guys crazy right. like we do.
No, I understand that. And I do remember when The Force Awakens comes out, and there was like a line of people dressed as stormtroopers. That was super extra.
Which is, to me, I think of it as cool and dedication. And
yeah, but you wouldn't dress up as a...
I wouldn't dress up as a stormtrooper.
Maybe Princess Leia. That seems comfy.
I would not dress up as
Princess Leia. It's like she's wearing a bedsheet or something. That's what it looks like.
No, I would not dress up as Princess Leia. I'd dress up as like Rey. I really like Rey's costume.
That is a good costume. I'm glad that's an option now.
Yes. Oh. So, but yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Philly. We're going to take a picture of Norman. We're going to casually steal him away. And then we'll get shot on the spot, because not only will his security detail be freaking out, but the entire fucking convention will be like, who stole Norman?
Who took him into his bag and just walked away?
And then just riot against us.
It's going to be fun because... I wonder how tall he is.
He's probably pretty tall.
I don't think so.
Andrew Lincoln is pretty tall.
All right. We're going to look it up right now because I am curious.
All of them are pretty tall.
Are they?
I think the only one who's not that tall is Chandler Riggs, who plays Carl.
Oh, he's 5'10". Well, yeah. I'm taller than him, so.
That's still tall.
No, yeah, I agree. Oh my God, Jeffrey Dean Morgan's 6'2"?
That makes sense, because I had read somewhere that for some scenes, Andrew Lincoln had to wear, like, what is it?
High heels?
Like platform shoes? Yeah, not high heels. Like platform shoes to look like boots for some of the close-up scenes.
Right, right. So they would look similar heights. No, I get it. They do that with Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Wow, he's tall. Yeah, Chandler Riggs is 5'7", but he's still young. He could grow a little bit more, I guess.
Probably.
Steve Yeun is 5'9".
Not surprised. He looked smaller compared to everyone else in the show. Yeah.
Lauren Cohan is 5'7".
Also makes sense.
It's regular size. I think that's the medium for a woman.
No, the medium is a little bit lower than that.
I thought it was 5'7". Mm-hmm. Anyway.
No, I'm 5'7", I'm considered taller than average. Yeah.
I like your height.
So I believe like the average is probably 5'5". Maybe. There are some very small women out there.
You telling me? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not an expert on women's height. I don't know. Melissa is 5'5".
Oh, Melissa McBride?
And that's all the heights that really matter, because everyone else is dead.
True.
Yeah, Andrew Lincoln is 5'10". Yeah, we said that. And yeah, that's all the related heights to when you Google Norman Reedus height. That also shows up. But yeah, that was my week also. Nothing interesting happened. Just a regular good old week. I had a Malta yesterday.
Where did you get it?
So there's this... I went to get my hair cut. Oh, I cut my hair. Yeah. And I got my car fixed. But yeah, there's this... Right next to where my hair guy is, there's this Venezuelan place.
Like a bakery?
Bakery. So they have all these pastries and food and sandwiches and empanadas. They don't have arepas, which I found very intriguing.
That is intriguing. Why don't they have, like, the thing?
So they had empanadas, which they were great. But they didn't have arepas. I was looking for arepas, and they couldn't find them.
I
couldn't find arepas. And I didn't want to drive all the way down to that other place in South. But yeah, I had some empanadas, and then I had a malta.
What kind of empanadas were they?
Fried? They were fried, and they had chicken inside. And another one had beef inside, shredded beef. And there was this other one. I don't remember the name of it. It started with a P or something.
I don't.
So you were an expert in your food.
I mean, to be honest, I don't even like Venezuelan empanadas that much.
Really? I thought they were good. They were really good, actually.
They're good, but they're fried, and it's very heavy to me, and I don't, because we basically use the same dough that we use to make the arepas, and we just shape them into empanada form, so then we fry it, and that's just, like, basically, if you essentially had, like, a fried arepa, and I'm like, that's too much. I don't even like the...
Arepa chicharrones.
The arepa de chicharrones that that my grandpa makes, which is delicious, but literally after I eat it, I'm like, I can feel my arteries clogging. So I mean, I like them. I'll eat them, but I probably will only eat one, if that. I'm a big fan of the empanadas that are made in the oven, you know, that are baked.
But not with the same flour, right?
Yeah, it's complete. It's made out of like bread flour. It's not corn flour. I think
those are Argentinian arepas, right?
Yeah, like the Argentinian kind or the Uruguayan kind. Just the ones that are made with the thinner dough and that gets baked. Because I feel like I can have several of those and not feel like I just made a poor life choice.
Yeah, I like those. Those are good. I also, however, like those empanadas. They were good too. But yeah, I had Malta. I like Malta. It's really good.
I love it. But it has to be the Malta Polar, which is the one that you had because you showed me the picture. It's very good. It's like the best brand.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I hadn't had any other, to be honest. No, I had a Colombian one, and it's not quite as good.
There's like a Goya brand of Malta, and it's terrible.
Yeah, I can't imagine Goya making good Malta. But I was intrigued by your country's food, and I was like, well, if these foods are from Venezuela and these foods are from Colombia, what does Ecuador consider their food? Nothing. They have no food.
Yeah, they do. They have that dish of
yeah, bacon. No, that's not real food.
Actually, no, I don't even think that's theirs. I think that's Peru.
No. They do have. I asked Mateo, who's Ecuadorian, and he said they have like the guinea pig dish, and they also have a soup made of potatoes. So I think they're like the South American Russia on culinary field. They just have potatoes and weird animals that no one else eats.
I don't think I've ever experienced Ecuadorian
because there's no places. There's no Ecuadorian food places because no one wants to eat guinea pig.
I'm sure that there is. I don't think I've ever encountered.
I don't know. All I ever see is Venezuelan places because I see the flag. Colombian places because I see the flag. Cuban places.
Because you see the flag. No, because you hear them first.
You hear them and then you look and they're like, oh, there's the Cuban flag. and then you see the American flag a lot, mostly in McDonald's. I like food. Food is great. I wanted to ask people to write us in and ask us questions.
All right. We should. I feel like we should do that at the
beginning. Maybe we should, because maybe not everyone listens all the way to the end.
Right.
But if anyone wants to write us with suggestions of what to talk about, that'll be helpful. If you have questions, we'll be happy to answer them. If you want to praise the way that we do things, you know, we'll take that too.
Or praise states also your
place. We'll be recording in Orlando in 2 weeks, maybe.
Don't show up at our house.
What do you mean?
It's not an open invitation.
Oh, yeah, don't. Yeah. if you happen to be at the parties at the same time, maybe say hi. You don't know what we look like. Just
we don't think they even know what we look like. We're not public figures where we have, like, if you Google search, I'm sure if you Google us, maybe like our Facebook.
No. If you Google me, you'll find no picture of me. It's amazing.
That's good.
Sometimes it's not, because there's another Sebastian Alsate somewhere in this world. If you Google your name though, that search lights up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, what comes up?
I'll tell you right now. Let's Google our names.
No, but Google mine, because I don't...
You never Google your name?
No, I don't Google myself.
That's like the first thing I did when I started dating. I was like, I want to Google this girl's name.
You Googled me?
Not really.
You totally Googled me.
Maybe. I did.
Oh my god.
Oh, look at that. There's your LinkedIn account. Attended University of Miami. God. That's a very old picture of you, babe.
Yeah, I have. I don't think I've touched my LinkedIn account since I made
it. I don't think I have either.
I don't believe in LinkedIn.
Well, Center of Excellence in Public Leadership.
Wait, that's up there? Oh my god, that's so cool.
Oh, that's a cute picture of you. I like that picture of you.
I don't know what picture you're talking about.
It's the one in your email.
Oh, it's my headshot.
I liked your hair with the little end dyed or bleached.
Yeah. My hair got too long and too annoying, and I cut it all off.
And your eyes look almost gray in that picture. It's interesting. Oh, look at a Facebook. Whose Facebook is this? Oh, no, this is not you. This is another Oriana Peñaranda. but her, she has another last name. It's Mendoza. Oh, look at this. We found a YouTube account.
Family video.
Yeah, I see that. DC tripping. Yeah,
I don't have a racially insensitive video like you do.
I don't have racial insensitive videos.
The movie about the genie.
It's a genie. It's not. It wasn't okay. It wasn't supposed to be, you know, insulting to any culture. Okay. You see a little bit of you. There's a picture of you. A picture of the Colosseum in Italy. I'm guessing from your trip to Italy. Okay. Let's see. A lot of you doing events. That's pretty cool.
So I'm not a serial
killer. Well, that's yet to be decided. Okay, so I know there were a lot of protests happening in DC. So do you see any of the protests happening? I feel like there should be a little noticeable if you're in the city.
You would think. So it's very interesting being in this. In a city where all this political chaos right. happens, I knew coming when I was going to move here that I knew what I was getting myself into. But it's really funny because I really don't notice it. It's just, and it's not even to say that I am far away from it because I work in downtown DC. I'm, what is it like? I think it's like 10 to 15 minute walk from the White House. Obviously, once I start getting closer to the White House, I clearly see it. But I don't see it around me just because there's so much more to this country and this world than the dumb political chaos that is coming out of this administration.
Right.
Everyone else is busy. Like, you can't, like, if you get hung up on every little thing that our president tries to do or says, like, you would not get anything done. You know, the best thing that you can do is try to just hope that he doesn't implode the government from within and move forward and try to do your best to serve the people that you can. For instance, next week, I have this training at the DC Department of Environment and Energy and Environment. Mm-hmm. So we were going over, I had like a webinar set up with the instructors that are set to be there, and just giving them a good lay of the land of who they're going to be talking to, their audience and what to expect, all this stuff. And their main concern, the instructors were their main concern is, you know, what can they talk about in that department? Because the new administration veers more towards they're the climate change denier, right? You know, they're putting people, you know, on the federal level who don't necessarily believe that climate change is real or that climate change is caused by a human, that we're the perpetrators of climate change. So it's kind of like you have to be very careful about what you say and who you talk about, because at the end of the day, you know, you might get in trouble. Because if at the federal level, they're saying you can't be, you know, even though you're the Department of Energy and Environment, you know, these are not the messages that we want getting out of there from this office. So our instructors were pretty worried, but we had already, you know, spoken to the heads of the department and saying just, you know, the whole point of the seminar of the class is to train these people to be better public servants. And if the majority of the public, because the majority of the country does believe that climate change is real and that climate change will impact us in the very near future, how that manifests and how you work around that, it's up to, you know, the employees. But it, you know, it doesn't mean that they're going to just blatantly start denying that this isn't, you know, that there isn't hard facts and evidence for their claims that they've been saying all along. They might not be so obvious about it now, but they're still going to do at the end of the day what they've known to be right.
Of course.
What they've known to be supported through numbers and facts and science. And regardless of what gets, you know, regardless of who sits at the top of the chain. And if they might get in trouble, then they understand the risks and they know that in the end, it's more important to try to stay and fight and try to do good to counterbalance the bad than to try to jump ship.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, but that's just, I think that's basically how this entire city's been operating. Because I think, what was it, like less than 3% of the District of Columbia voted for Trump in the general election, and the surrounding areas as well were blue-leaning counties, and it's not what everyone here wanted, but at the same time, you can't just
ignore it, and yeah.
No, like actually, I think to a point, they ignore it. Like, they try to ignore the noise
Right.
around.
No, of course.
There's so much noise around, you know, the administration here, and so much, and it's just, can't let that noise take over your life because you're never going to get anything done.
Right. Because, you know, sometimes for me, because I'm all the way down here, you know, I watch the news and I see all the protests going on and everything happening. And then I worry because I don't know how that's affecting you, you know, or if you see it happen.
And like I said, like at times I do, depending on where I am and what I'm doing. Like I was this week, I was going through a dress rehearsal of presentations for one of the groups that I work with. And they conducted the dress rehearsal at City Hall in D.C., which is literally across the street from the White House.
Right.
So it's right there, and you can see the police and you can see the barricades and you can see the people, and I see what's happening, but it doesn't particularly impact my productivity in the day unless I had to go through down that street and I have to go circumnavigate them. But, and also it's not even just those protests. Every single day I walk down the street, there's always people, you know, with a different organization, representing a different organization, like, I don't know, the Human Rights Campaign, Amnesty International, the ACLU, mm-hmm. The Construction Workers Union, everyone, someone, you know, with a certain kind of, you know, grievance or trying to do some sort of outreach is out on the street, you know, trying to talk to you and trying to get you to, you know, pledge some money or trying to get you to be involved. So it's just very common here. Everyone uses their First Amendment rights as much as possible.
Of course, that's, everyone should. So it doesn't affect your day-to-day there?
No, not really.
Yeah, that's good.
Or it has yet to affect my day-to-day there. Who knows what might happen?
Yeah, I mean, once, because it's summer. Once maybe classes start, maybe you'll see it more. Maybe students will come out more. I don't know. Everything can happen. Okay, that's our podcast for today. We're going to go get some coffee and watch some Game of Thrones.
Yes, Game of
Sundays
Thrones.
Have never...
Steve and Jon Snow are getting together.
I know.
Someone's gonna die.
You know, I never thought I would look to forward to Sunday so much, but you know, I don't know what's happening. Suddenly, I'm just looking forward to Sundays. I get to talk to you. I get to do our podcast. I get to watch Game of Thrones, and now, finally, Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty.
Yeah, Rick and Morty. Oh my god! All right, everyone. If you want to email us, our email is cafe420311@gmail.com.
Send emails.
What's that?
I said send us
emails. Send us emails so we can read them and then talk about them. It's always fun. Well, that's it, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Roll credits.